At this time, we will have our Old Testament reading, which will be found in Joel chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Joel chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Proclaim this among the nations. Consecrate for war. Stir up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am a warrior. Our New Testament reading is from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. At this time, I'll ask you to stand as we read our sermon text, which will be found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I'd ask that you pray with me. Father, these are your words. We thank you for your love. We thank you for giving us your word. And we thank you for the many blessings that you've given us. We pray that you would be with us this time. And in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you have plans after church today? All right, I see a hand, okay. All right. Now, unless you're in cross country, which I know we have a few here in cross country, I don't think many of us have the plan of going to run for 3 hours this afternoon. Now, to be honest, I wouldn't make it 3 hours. I'd probably stop somewhere around the 30-minute mark. But I don't think many of us have the plan to go and run a marathon. Or maybe you go and you want to go for a nice walk because it's a wonderful day out. But if I were to take a guess at your plans for this afternoon, they would probably include something that's comfortable, whether it's watching football. Now, Vikings fans, we can take a deep breath because although we might not win all of our games, I don't think we found a way to lose on the bye week, because we don't play this week, so we can all breathe easier. But maybe your football team plays, and that might be a little uncomfortable depending on which team you cheer for. But we typically sit on the chair or we sit on the couch, and we're comfortable. You go for a walk, you help your kids with their homework, and I mean, depending on how old your kids are, their math might be a little difficult, but hopefully it's not too terrible for you. But we think of this idea of comfort. But I want to ask you a question, and there's a couple of questions that we'll be asking today. Are you too comfortable? And I don't mean by the couch that you sit on or the chair that you sit in and you fall asleep. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your walk with Jesus. Are you too comfortable? Have you, you know, maybe you've completed confirmation, and I want to say it right here. Or maybe you came to faith later, and you're like, okay, I've studied the Bible, I want to stay right here. I don't want to go anywhere else, I want to stay right where I am. But God doesn't call us to do that. God calls us to grow and follow Him more and more. But there's another part of this. When you think of war, when you think of World War I, you typically think of trench warfare. The dirt, the mud, the terrifying reality that there could be a bayonet charge and the enemy soldier will be not only 50 feet from you, but 5 feet from you. We think of World War II. We think of Normandy and how they took the beaches and they stormed the coast. I don't think there was a lot of comfort there. We think of Vietnam and the jungle warfare that happened and the fact that they didn't know where the enemy was. Or even recently with conflicts going on in the Middle East, we think of the desert. We think of sand. We think of, you know, the wind picking up the sand and it just not being comfortable. And that's because, honestly, war is not comfortable. There may be breaks in between the battles. There may be times where there is an up and a down. But war is not comfortable. And frankly, it's not supposed to be comfortable. How many of you have seen the Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? How many of you have seen that? All right. Okay. There is a time in the movie and also in the books where an individual shows up and greets Peter, Susan, and Lucy. It's supposed to represent Santa, but they're British, so they call him Father Christmas. And he gives them gifts. Who remembers what these gifts are? Yeah. What was that? They're weapons, exactly. They are weapons. You go from Lucy, who is, you know, that tall. She's given a little dagger. You have Susan, who's given a bow and arrow. And then you have Peter, who was given a sword and a shield. Why are those gifts given to them? Well, it's because there's a war coming. There is a battle for Narnia. The evil in Narnia has risen up to a spot that is, it's got to be fought. Like, it's coming, there's going to be a battle, and it's going to happen. So, they're given weapons because they know that a war is coming. God has done the same thing for us. We read in Ephesians, which I could talk about the whole armor of God. We could be here for quite a while, but we're going to talk specifically about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, God knows that we're going to go to war, but He doesn't send us out without weapons. Now, this is a fake sword. I'm not going to cut myself. Okay. But if I were to walk around like this with a real sword, people would look at me a little strange at Bronson's. Understandably so, they probably already do. But when you go into public and you have a sword on you, people are going to be like, where is the dragon? I don't see the dragon. You know, the jalapenos might be a little spicy, but I don't see no need for a sword. They're expecting a war because you don't carry a weapon unless you're ready for war. We think of our modern conflicts with that, you know, weapons of war between tanks and airplanes and rifles and different things like that. But there was a time where this was the weapon of war. God tells us that the sword of the Spirit is His Word. He gives us a weapon. Now, we can talk about the armor of God at another time, the other parts of it. But He gives us the sword. Why? Why does God give us a sword? Because God, knowing everything, knows that we're going to be at war. He knows that the world is going to hate us. He tells us that in Matthew. He tells us that the world is going to hate us, but God does not leave us right there. God fights our battles, but He also has given us a sword to go out into the battle. Now, what if I walked into Bronson's like this? And I walked around Bronson's, I picked out the bananas, the strawberries, maybe some ice cream because I like ice cream. People might look at me weird. They might be wondering, is he going to give us a sermon right here next to the frozen yogurt? Where's the church pews? The world doesn't recognize the fact that this is a weapon. It is against the evil spiritual forces of the world. And sometimes we as Christians forget that this is our weapon, that this is our sword. So I want to remind you of that, that this is our weapon. God has given us the sword of the Spirit. Do not just, oh, well, I can't do anything about that. Now, in our own power, we can't. But God has given us His Word, and His Word is powerful. It talks about in Hebrews how the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And there goes that sword. Piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of our heart. God did not give us something that is useless, that looks really, really good on the bookshelf of our house. There's a time when every family had what was known as a family Bible. It had places in the front where you could write down marriages, the birth of children. But was it ever opened and read to the family? Sometimes, yes. Depending on your family, yes. Now, I understand that some of those are more of a decorative thing and more of a not for daily use. But God's Word is powerful, and it does not need to be left on the shelf. It should be carried with you. And I understand that in today's technology, we can have it on our phone. But what if your battery dies? You don't typically hear of a sword running out of batteries. But thankfully, because of technology, we can have it with us anywhere without even having to carry what would be a physical book. But I encourage you, keep your Bible with you. Understand that it is not just something to go to only in times of trouble, only in times of fear, or when we want something from God, so we decide, oh, I should probably do my daily Bible reading because I have if you're a student, you have a test at the end of the week. Or if you're working at a job, you have a promotion coming up. God's Word is a weapon of war against the spiritual forces. Now, in Joel we read, proclaim this among the nations, consecrate for war, stir up the mighty men. Let all of the men of war draw near. Let them come up, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am a warrior. Now, I'm going to be completely honest. I accidentally flipped which text I should have used for this. But God, knowing in His infinite wisdom, knew what He was doing. Because in Micah, it's flipped. And in Micah, God is speaking to the people of Israel, telling them that they're not going to need their swords, that they're going to be able to have their swords into plowshares and their spears into the pruning hooks. And that's where I got mixed up. But here, God tells the prophet to tell the world, bring everything you got. Bring every single weapon you can think of. Bring every soldier you can find. Because at the end of the world, God is going to be there. And there's going to be a battle between good and evil. And Jesus is going to win. The text in Joel is a challenge from God Almighty to the people of the world that don't follow Him, saying, bring it. you're not going to win. You can turn all these things into weapons of war, and you're still not going to win. You can take every soldier, and you're not going to win. But to his people, to those that he loves, he tells them, you're not going to need your swords anymore. You're not going to need your spears. You're not going to have to live in fear of war. And that's at the end of time, when we are with God in heaven. But right now we are at war. If you don't believe me, turn on the news. Look at all of the things that are happening around the world, the spiritual warfare that is happening. Sometimes it's not covered in the news, sometimes it is. Look at the lives of your children, how they're affected and how they're attacked. Look at the lives of your grandchildren. And then take a step back and look at your life. You are at war. Are you too comfortable to be at war? Are you too comfortable sitting on the sidelines thinking, eh, the Constitution still stands. That's good enough for me. Are you too busy sitting on the sideline because you don't want to get involved because you don't want people to look at you weird at Bronson's because they know that you live your life with a sword in your hand? The world will tell you, oh, that's weird. That's not normal. Well, newsflash, Jesus isn't normal. Christians aren't supposed to be normal. We are called to go to war against the evil forces of this world. It tells us that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Now, I'll be honest. I don't think this plastic sword's going to do a whole lot if I have to fight a lion. But the picture stays the same. We have the sword of the Spirit to fight off the lion that is the devil. So I'm asking you, are you too comfortable to be at war? Are your children too comfortable because they don't know that they have a sword that they are called to use against the evil forces of the world? I'll be honest, there's times when I've been too comfortable. I'm probably still too comfortable to this day. But God has called us to go to war. You think of your neighbors, you think of your family members, you think of some, maybe even your best friend, those that don't know that Jesus is Savior. God has called us to go to war and to share the gospel with them. When you ask a soldier, why do they go to war? Almost every soldier I've ever heard of is because of the people that stand behind me. I'll go and fight for others. Now, we cannot save anybody. We do not have that power. Only the blood of Jesus can save. But what we can do is tell others about that. We can tell others about the blood of Jesus that has saved them from hell. And we can go forward into the battle knowing that Jesus has already won the battle. Jesus has won. On the cross, when he bled and died for our sins, he won. When he died and rose again 3 days later, he won. Now, throughout history, there have been many wars. And there's always confidence going into the battle, like, yeah, we're going to win. Or maybe there's the, yeah, we'll probably lose, but we need to fight anyways. This is the one battle, this is the one war that we already know the outcome. And it's because of what Jesus did on the cross. So don't have fear when you take the sword of the Spirit Understand that God is with you. And charge the gates of the enemy, knowing that God has already won the victory. Where is your sword? Is it on the shelf? Is it in a box because you moved a couple years ago? Have you lost it? Have you forgotten about the sword that God has given you? Because you have become too comfortable. This challenge is not only for you, but it's for me as well. I am no better than you. I have gotten too comfortable in my life. But take up the sword of the Spirit. Put on the rest of the armor of God. Trust in Jesus. And head out into the battle. The battle's outside that door. We'll come here, we'll regroup, we'll understand how to fight the world together. But the battle is outside that door. I ask that you pray with me. Father, we thank you for today. We pray, Lord, that your hand will be upon us, that you give us your strength as we go into the battle. We pray, Lord, that you would guide us, that you would work through us. And Father, for times when we stumble, we thank you for your forgiveness. We pray that you be with us as we go into this world. We thank you that you have already won the victory. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, I ask that you stand as we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.